Our staff medical advisor from South Strand Internis. Every week we talk with Dr. Vandegrift, or today, Dr. Brian Adler, about various health concerns. Today we're going to be talking about osteoporosis, soft bones. It increases the risk of a broken bone. And in a retirement area, this is a pretty important topic. Good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, I know a little bit about this, not a lot about this. Osteoporosis, is that a natural part of getting older, or is it instead something more like along the lines of a disease?
Well, it is a natural part of getting older in terms of, again, natural bone health. Our bones are structured to be very firm, to support our weight, of course, and to give us structural integrity in terms of doing our normal functioning. And again, the most common areas where people will get into problems when osteoporosis progresses is with hip fractures, fractures of the bone, which most people are not aware of. Many people, when they think of osteoporosis, think of fractured hips or broken bone with falls. But the more common thing we see are people that are having back pain that turns out to be due to small fractures in the bone of the spine that are actually due to osteoporosis. So again, I think the causes for osteoporosis are many, and we can discuss that a little bit. But again, it is a natural process. As we get older, the bones become more brittle, more likely to fracture. But again, there are some ways to slow that process down or prevent it. And again, I think listeners would understand a little bit more about how to maintain good bone health.
Well, it's certainly a topic that anybody should talk about, but I know, as you say, it's part of getting older. It happens a lot more as you do get older, but you just kind of perked my interest here when you talked about some of the causes. Because when you talk about being in your 60s or 70s, getting a broken hip, that is a life-altering event. So what are some of the causes, and more particular, what are some of the things I need to avoid and some of the things I need to do to, as you call it, keep up good bone health, something I don't think a lot of folks might think about?
Well, Jim, I think, again, many lifestyle factors contribute to bone loss in life. We see progressive bone loss and osteoporosis in both men and women, particularly smokers, particularly people who drink excess of alcohol, do have increased wasting of bone. People who have underlying health conditions that affect nourishment or affect the body metabolism will have accelerated bone loss. So many people that I see that come in that have been treated for chronic illness, whether it's heart disease or diabetes or kidney issues, often will have osteoporosis. And again, this is both men and women. Typically, we'll start doing bone scans really in women. We don't often do them in men. But we do bone density testing typically in women starting around age 50, to try and determine at what point the bone loss becomes significant enough to treat. And I think this is where most of us are missing the boat, because many of us sort of wait until the bone loss gets beyond a certain point before we start getting aggressive. And in reality, we should be doing that very early on. Women in particular begin to have significant bone loss after menopause because of the loss of estrogens, which maintains bone strength in life. Men tend to maintain bone strength longer, probably because we have testosterone. But again, in men, for many reasons, testosterone levels go down, which can also contribute to bone loss. Certain medications, particularly people who are now taking all of these medicines for indigestion, the Nexium, the Prilosec, the Zantac, and all these things, people who take them on a regular basis, many times they've been on them for years, accelerate bone loss when they use these kinds of medicines, as well as several other medicines that affect the metabolism of the bone. Other factors that contribute are people who are taking steroids, prednisone, people with asthma, people with rheumatoid arthritis, and who are on these medications, and many of the other drugs that they're now using that are injectable for rheumatologic disorders like rheumatoid arthritis, again, have accelerated bone loss, as well, again, as people who are on various chemotherapy drugs, prostate cancer medications, and all these things accelerate bone loss, which often doesn't get addressed because people are so busy addressing their other health issues that, you know, again, the bones are not really addressed. And often what I see are people who come in, they'll have an acute onset of pain in their back. We'll x-ray and we'll find that one of the vertebrae in their back has collapsed because the bone just fractured. They didn't necessarily have a fall. They didn't do anything to injure themselves, but they'll have a spontaneous fracture in a bone in their back, which is often the first presentation of osteoporosis by having a fracture. And again, even earlier than that, many people will come in and they say, well, I've lost height, or now I've got a big curve up in my chest and my back. And again, these are all signs of bone loss, changes in the structure of the spine. And this is why, you know, generally starting in the 50s, 60s, you know, a lot of people start losing their height because the bones are actually collapsing.
Well, you bring up a very good point. I don't think that it's the kind of thing that a lot of folks would walk into a doctor's office and say, doctor, I'm feeling very frail, feeling very fragile. Is it something that you noticed on people? Maybe if you've got your patients, you're keeping records of their height and weight. Do you bring it up, or do people actually come in, or is it too late? Is it time, you know, when they actually have a broken bone that they discover they have osteoporosis?
Well, many people that come in, and I see people typically for annual exams, and that's part of the question and answer period of just evaluating and talking to patients and trying to identify people who are at higher risks. Again, there are some people, again, that are smokers, drinkers. Their diet is such where they may be deficient either in protein or calcium. Many people, again, are deficient in vitamin D, either, again, because they just don't make vitamin D, or they're avoiding the sun because they have skin issues, or they're homebound. And low vitamin D is another factor that contributes to bone loss. So sitting down with individuals, examining, looking at their body type, looking at their spine, their symptoms, their diet, their lifestyle, their health issues, it's fairly easy to pick out higher risk people. And again, most of them, I'll recommend that they at least have a bone scan done every several years to see, number one, do they have any bone loss that's significant? And doing bone densities every few years can show us the decline or the change in the bone density. So often we'll see a change from one exam to the next with bone density testing, which again shows that there is an acceleration of bone loss. And for some of these folks, again, there's a variety of different treatments and things that we recommend that can help either restore or preserve bone, trying to strengthen and reduce the risk of further bone loss.
Is a bone scan different than an x-ray?
It is. A bone density is a specific scan test that they do, looks just at the bone density. So it will look both at the spine and both hips and determine how much bone loss there is based on what would be determined as normal for their age.
Right. Well, I think that's good news that it's fairly easy to diagnose and that we do have several treatment methods. My main question would be, as once it gets to that point, can it be reversed, or am I going to live with this and just have to treat it for the rest of my life?
Yeah, there are a variety of medicines out there, both in the form of pills or injections, which are very effective in slowing or reducing, and some of them even a reverse bone loss. People who are at very high risk or who have significant bone loss, there are several injectable drugs. Some of them are given either once a year, several times a year, which can they're given IV and injectable, which, again, are for more high risk or severe cases, which can be very effective in slowing or reversing bone loss. And again, there's a variety of medicines that are prescribed that are in the pill form. Most of them these days are a once-a-week pill, which, again, are designed to try to help promote the bone to strengthen and prevent the bone loss. So these drugs can be very effective when they're used at the right time. Many times these medicines are prescribed too late when it's too far gone. So I think the take-home message is early diagnosis early treatment, and most importantly for higher risk individuals, prevention in terms of looking at various things in lifestyle that are either affecting bone loss, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be alcohol, whether it be certain medications over the counter, getting enough vitamin D and calcium in the diet, making sure people are getting good nutrition, where they're getting adequate amounts of calcium, adequate amounts of protein and different things that are important to maintain bone strength. So a lot of these preventive measures are very effective if they're initiated at the right time early on.
Well, I like talking about these kind of topics. It may not be the most fascinating or sexiest topics, but these are the kind of things that can sneak up on a person, and I'm glad we had this show today. Folks, you probably want to start thinking about talking about osteoporosis in your bones during your next chat with your healthcare provider. And remember, if you don't have a healthcare provider, you can always just call South Strand Internist. They're in Surfside Beach, located on Glens Bay Road, and their phone number 843-650-4006.